You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I think it's harder to play Game 7 at home than it is on the road. And the reason why I think that is, I think there's more pressure to come through in front of your home fans.
That's true.
And like, you know, and then, all right, did mama get the tickets? Is everybody there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got all these distractions at home. And then if you don't get out the gate well, then the crowd starts getting restless, so that adds pressure. Like I went to, saw the Kings when they had an opportunity to get to their first playoff to clinch it for the first time in 17 years, and they lost at home to Minnesota. And I remember when they got down, the crowd just got so disappointed and so deflated, and I think it also had an effect on the Kings a little bit in terms of. There was no pick me up there. So I think if the Warriors like watch it, if they are able to jump on them early, like you could take out their crowd because they have so much pain from the, I'm being a psychologist here.
Yeah, Kings no, crowd you're,
has so much on, pain from fragile, their past.
Fragile crowd, right.
Yeah, there's so much pain there from their past that if it looks like they're going to be disappointed, they get deflated more so than any other team in the league.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I'm Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell, and we got a special guest on this episode, man. We got Mark Spears joining us. He's going to recap the NBA first round matchups, preview the second round matchups, man, and whatever else we get into, right? It should be a fun episode, man. What's going on, Mark? How are you doing?
Good, man. This is the most casual podcast I've ever been on.
I like it.
Joe looked like he got a brunch date. Look how he dressed. Said, I don't know where Sid going, and I don't want to ask, you know.
Ain't that.
I'm sitting in my car, too.
Man,
but Sid, you look like you got a driver, like you in the back seat.
right?
I am in the front seat setting this thing up. We got to congratulate you on this Hall of Fame thing, man. Tell us about that first.
Man. Congrats, Mark. Headed to the hall of this upcoming induction. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, I got the print award, the Kurt Gowdy Award, and Holly Rowe, my ESPN colleague, she got it for television. So on August 11th, the day before the big Hall of Fame induction ceremony, we're going to be honored with the Kurt Gowdy Award, which essentially makes us Hall of Famers, and our name will be in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. So it's funny, Sid, you'll like this. I sat down with Tom Joyner for a story I'm doing on him. He's a season ticket holder for the Heat. We talked about it. I was there for the Jimmy Butler's 56-point game.
Ooh.
And he's like, yeah, man, I made the Radio Hall of Fame. I told him they could put my name by the vending machine. As long as it was in there, I didn't care. That's kind of how I am, man. It could be upside down. It could be in the bathroom. I'm in here. Ain't nothing they could do about it, right? But, you know, I've been covering basketball even for the NBA, I covered Arkansas's football and basketball team. I covered Nolan Richardson, covered Kentucky with Tubby Smith. I even covered Denny Crum in Louisville before I started covering the NBA in 99. And I did the Nuggets for 8 years. But I really feel like my career really, like, changed for the best move I ever made in my career was going to the Boston Globe to cover the Celtics and to cover that championship team. That kind of, like, got me viewed in a different way that I think just changed the course of my career. And from there, I went to Yahoo and then ESPN to the Undefeated / Anscape now. So, no, it's I've been blessed to write about basketball for a living, and it's very, very humbling. Like, you grow up as a kid hoping to make the Hall of Fame one day, and I did it, but I did it with my writing and not with my playing. So to go in on August 11th, man, I got a 5-minute speech. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm excited. And I hope y'all two will be there, man. Y'all hop, skipping, and jump from there.
Oh, man. But, I would love to be down there for sure.
I hope y'all are there, man. It'll be an amazing day for me.
Who's your presenter, man? Who's your presenter?
Well, I don't get a presenter.
What?
I'm on the JV. I'm on the JV ticket, man. Like, but
yeah, they don't give us the writers presenters, man. That's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Now the Dwayne Wade, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki,
incredible
and
class.
Popovich, they're all going in. So on that August 11th, the day that I say a speech, he'll be at the Mohegan Sun. They will get their jackets and a ring, and then the next day we go to Springfield, and they'll give their speeches on the August 12th. Just to be a part of that, and people have been calling me Hall of Famer lately. I'm like, yeah, it's actually true.
Yeah, you can put that to your title, man. 100%. That's what the hard work's for, man. You earned it, man.
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, no, thank you.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would be going to the Hall of Fame as a, because I know everybody thinks like, oh, I'm gonna be a Hall of Fame basketball player, but as a writer, wildest dreams, did you ever think that possible?
No, because you know what, I fell in love with writing when I was in the seventh grade. I decided I want to be a sports writer, and I was like, if I can't play in the NBA finals, the next best thing is to be there. Right.
Wait a minute. How the hell did you fall in love in the seventh grade when I didn't even want to do no damn homework? You said you fell
because let me guess, Mark. That was the one subject you cared about, right? That was the only one that you were like excited about. Or at least for me, that was the case for me for sure, man.
Well, no, you'll find this interesting. I'm gonna try to make a long story short. When I was in the seventh grade, if I could do a national program to make sure that every junior high kid has a career day, I would love to be involved in that, because that was a life-changing thing for me. I had basically at my junior high, Sylvandale Junior High in San Jose, California, we had the opportunity to pick three different people to listen to. And one of my teachers must have been dating some dude from the Warriors, because for some reason, this dude from the Warriors came down, took like the 40-minute drive, came to San Jose, and I listened to him. I'm like, maybe he got free tickets. Maybe he got a bumper sticker. I don't know, something. He didn't give me nothing, but what he asked me for some reason, it was like God told him to ask me, like, he's like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And around that time, I saw a stat that less than 2% of all NBA play, I mean, all NBA play, I'm sorry, 2% of all college basketball players make it to the NBA. It's like 1984, Sed's in the league, right? And Sed, if I'm not mistaken, like in your early NBA days, there weren't a lot of international players. So think about it. Less than 2% of all college basketball players make it to the NBA. And this was before the international kicked in.
Yeah.
And so I was just a realistic kid. I'm like, I'm going to have to be pretty darn good to the NBA at less than 2%. So my mentality changed to, if I could play it in college, that would be great. But how can I be there? And this guy from the Warriors asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I said, I want to play for y'all. And he's like, well, can't make it, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, well, if you can combine what you love most in life with what you do best in school, you'll find a job that you're happy with every day. And I love basketball. I love sports. The only subject I was good in was writing. So I was like, well, shoot, why not be a sports writer? I can't be in the finals as a player. The next best thing is to be there. And my teacher, Mrs. Thompson, she made us write somebody in a field that we're interested in. And I wrote Mark Purdy from the San Jose Mercury News. He gave me a letter back in the seventh grade telling me what to do from seventh grade through college to be a sports writer.
Wow. Damn, Mark.
He gave, like, that kind of this said,
that kind of blueprint?
He gave me a blueprint.
That's insane.
A columnist for a major newspaper gave me a blueprint in the seventh grade on what to do from seventh grade through college to be a sports writer. And I followed that like it was a Bible.
Wow. You got the beginning of your speech right there, Mark. Man, that's incredible.
Yeah, man.
That's incredible.
And so that's, you know, so that's how I knew in the seventh grade what I wanted to do.
How many?
I just remember when I first found out that you could go to school for communication sports journalism, like that just changed everything for me. I didn't know like that was a major. I assumed you had to be, be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. I had no idea. Yeah. So that sort of, that changed my mindset. But to have a blueprint like that at that age, that's incredible.
Man, I started writing on a school paper in the seventh grade, bro.
How many people tried to discourage you? Because they had to be.
Nobody.
They did?
Nobody.
Wow.
Yeah. No, like somebody, I think my mom saw.
Are you crazy? What are you talking about?
No. My parents were like very.
No, I'm talking about your supportive. Friends. I'm talking about your
friends. Yeah, he's talking about your boys.
Said, but I was like a different kid, man. I ain't listening. I wasn't easily influenced like that. I was scared of my dad.
Yes.
I respected my mother.
Yes.
And everybody else was just everybody else. Right. So like my mom was like, what can we do? Like she made me go to a high school I didn't want to go to because they had a good English teacher and they had a guy from the San Jose Mercury News that taught the school paper.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What was your fear factor of your dad? I'm just curious, because I had the same fear factor with my dad. He was a Marine. Yeah. So it wasn't even one of those things where I wanted to question him at all. It's like, if he said jump, it was just like, let me see, how high should I jump?
No, right. I was literally scared of him. Like, literally, like, scared of him. I was around drug dealers and gang members as a kid, and I wasn't scared of them, but I was more scared of my dad in a good scared way.
Yeah.
And just didn't want to disappoint him. But he was that guy that was like, you know, if you go to jail, I ain't going to bail you out. You know what I mean? Like, tell you stuff like that. And you're like, he's serious. He's not going to bail me out. Like, so, like, he was always just in my head all the time. Like, you know, you ain't going to get no Jerry Curl. You ain't going to get no earrings. Like, he was just like. I'm a big dude. He's a big dude. And he didn't say a whole lot. But when he did say stuff, he had, like, bars like he was a rapper. Like, he used to give me gems all the time. You know, he's fighting ALS now. So, like, shoot, pray for him. But, he was supportive. My mom was supportive. But, you know, in terms of, like, a hater, God rest his soul, one of my college basketball coaches told me, man, if you cared about basketball as much as you do that goddamn journalism, you'd be a hell of a player.
Wow. Wow.
And when that's I was at the University of D.C. Huh?
That's one of them haters right there.
When I was at the University of D.C.
always has to be somebody in your ear that you have to say, what are you talking? I remember that was when they were telling me about playing basketball, man. Yeah. And the first word is like, nigga, you can't play. What the hell you talking about? You can't do this. You can't.
There's always a doubt. But, that's the first thing.
But I always wanted to prove that to them. But I think I was more afraid of failure. I was more afraid of failure than anything else. And that's why people over the years have always said, you know, you always talking a lot of noise and all this. But I think I did it like
Muhammad you was Ali. Nice, dog. You was nice, dog.
Yeah, but I did it you like was Muhammad nice. Ali. I was afraid
Hey,
fail.
Tell him to go look at the back of that bubblegum card. don't you got finals MVP on your resume?
Yeah, he do. Yeah, he do.
And a lot of people can say that.
No. I was telling somebody the other day, I was just thinking about saying, there are only 33 people who've ever had finals MVP. And right now, there might be maybe 22 or 23 of them who are alive right now.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them. I was like, okay, I'll take that. Now, you know, going on though, let's hear a little bit about what's going on with Warriors, man.
Yeah, fast forward to the last game you went to. Go ahead.
They were playing at happy hour, and it felt like they were at happy hour the way they were playing. The thing is this, like, the Kings played like their lives depended on it, and it did. They had an energy. They had a will to live. Like, they were in a, you know, obviously playing in San Francisco. They're playing against the champs. That number two seed didn't matter. They knew that everything was against them, and they showed up for the moment. They came ready to play. In fact, like, before the game, Malik Monk started, like, basically yelling at his teammates, like, y'all ain't going to be no punks.
Wow.
He's like, we need to start strong. We need to be focused. And when we get back, we don't need no regrets. Like, that's what he told them before the game.
Damn.
And Harrison Barnes yelled at him before the game about, let's go get this. You know what I mean? So they came in to that game with the right mentality. Whereas the Warriors came in very laissez-faire, very surprising. They went down like 8-0. It was probably like, it's one thing to lose a playoff game, but it's another thing to not come prepared. And it certainly could be very costly because the Kings are certainly good enough to beat them. And then even if they win, the Lakers will have rested for a few days where they're going to have a day off and then have to play. You never know
if
in a game.
If you're a betting man, if you're a betting man here, who do you go with in that game? The Kings right
game
now.
Game seven?
Yeah.
Well, I got another theory for that.
Warriors on the road, man. You know that hasn't been.
You know what it is? It's interesting, Sid, and you could tell me what you think about this. I think it's harder to play game seven at home than it is on the road. And the reason why I think that is, I think there's more pressure to come through in front of your home fans.
That's true.
And like, you know, and then, all right, did mama get the tickets? Is everybody there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got all these like distractions at home. And then if you don't get out the gate well, then the crowd starts getting restless. So that adds pressure. Like, I saw the Kings when they had an opportunity to get to their first playoff to clinch it for the first time in 17 years. And they lost at home to Minnesota. And I remember when they got down, the crowd just got so disappointed and so deflated. And I think it also had an effect on the Kings a little bit in terms of just there was no pick me up there. So I think if the Warriors like watch it, if they are able to jump on them early, like you could take out their crowd because they have so much pain from the, I'm being a psychologist here.
Yeah, Kings
there's so much pain from their past.
Fragile crowd, right.
Yeah, there's so much pain there from their past that if it looks like they're going to be disappointed, they get deflated more so than any other team in the league.
Flashbacks. So, it's like getting flashbacks.
Yeah, like, so I just think that the Warriors, for some reason, they're like better when their back's against the wall. So I think they'll be ready. I also think it's also hard to beat a team four times in a row, right? So there's that part. But I just feel like, too, like the Kings haven't – Yeah, they held court, but playing in a game seven, it's just different. The Warriors have done that before. I actually picked the Warriors in seven from the beginning, so I'm going to stick with them. I feel like they'll figure it out.
I believe in this series, and you talked about seventh games, and it depends on the crowd. Yeah. I played a couple of seventh games in Boston, and the crowd is a pick-me-up crowd. When we weren't doing well, they got a little antsy, but their energy level picked us up and vice versa. I've seen this Kings team play, and yeah, they'll be nervous coming out the box. Mm. But if they can keep that game close, or if they ever get any kind of momentum and they keep that crowd going, it's going to be a long night for the Warriors. And I just think that whatever it is, Jordan Poole was horrible the other day.
Oh, my goodness. He's been horrible this series.
I mean, are you going to change out now, or are you bringing Draymond back?
I think, you know, and this is from what I know from Steve, which I think he's had probably some struggles in terms of the like the playing rotation in this series. But I think in a game like this, you got, hey, man, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with my soldiers, right? Like, so I think Draymond has to go back into the starting lineup in this game.
Yeah,
like,
He
has to go in the starting lineup. And Poole has just been very disappointing, to say the least. And if he's not giving you anything offensively, then there's really nothing you're getting, right? Yeah. Like, and they stop using Kuminga for whatever reason. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's a head scratcher there, because they can't complain. And if I want somebody who is athletic and could get to the rim, it seemed like he should be getting a few minutes. Steve has just not even played him at all.
Yeah, no, he seems to have a very short leash, where to me, like, Jordan has like a mile long leash in terms of his ability to make a mistake and not be the end of the world. I just think that I'm gonna go with the veteran. I'm gonna go with the veterans, man. They're the champs. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on this, but the Kings are certainly capable of winning this series and capable of beating the Lakers too.
So let me ask you this: what kind of juice right now is LeBron having, or what the hell is he eating? This is crazy. I mean, I have always said, looking at players, I'm like, eventually this guy has to fall off a cliff. Because, being an athlete, I know when I fell off the cliff, it was like, okay, I'm falling. And, you know, like that commercial, I'm falling, I can't get up. But this dude keeps coming back and over again doing things that no man at 38, 39 years old should be doing, playing more minutes than anybody in the history of the NBA. This is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's funny, like somebody was saying, well, the way the NBA players are scoring now, I think somebody will catch LeBron. I'm like, how? How? I said, are they going to play till they're 40?
Right.
Well, that's the difference is, like, how many guys can play past 35 years old? It's not a lot, man. The Trey Youngs, the Lucas, and all these guys are scoring big numbers, but are they going to play till they're 40 years old? Like, that's what's incredible. And he has the ability in the finances to put like $1 million into his body every year, like that he said, and, you know, get the best of the best. And like, I remember they were making fun of him at Summer League, LeBron, for like eating these healthy snacks. Like, it looked like mama gave him a little pouch or something to eat, right? Like after the soccer game or something like that, right? But I mean, like, the dude takes care of his body and eats well. And that was and during summer league, I was at a Mediterranean restaurant in Las Vegas, and he was in the VIP room eating dinner in there. And I mean, like, that's where they had. It was a kind of bougie place, man. It's where they had the fish on the ice and all that. And but, like, ultimately, the food there was really, really healthy. So the fact that he was eating there, not like at some steakhouse, kind of showed me, like, the mentality that he has with his body. It's amazing. Like, I wonder, like, and this is sad. I was actually asking somebody that's close to Chris Paul. I'm like, you know, I can't see them being in a position where they'd come off the bench ever in their life. Like, at what point do they say goodbye? Like, I remember Kobe's last days, like Jordan's last days. You don't ever see those Wizards highlights. Like, it's like they're lost tapes. Like, they don't exist. I was telling somebody, I remember I remember seeing Vashawn Leonard block Jordan, Michael Jordan shot and standing over him. And that might have been, respectfully, the one, a great shooter, Vashawn Leonard, the first block shot and the last I ever saw in his career. And I was like, Jordan got to retire, man. And Vashawn Leonard is blocking his shot and standing over him. But I just, like, when do Chris Paul and when do LeBron James say, all right, because I don't think they could do what Vince Carter did. They can't do what Grant Hill did. They can't do what, like, Zach Randolph or Pau Gasol did and end up coming off the bench. I just don't see that, right? Like, at some point, like, when do they say, all right, LeBron can't be average, right?
Yeah, right.
There's going to be a day where maybe he's not – he can still play in this league, but – you can't see him as a, you know, remember like when Kareem was playing his last year and he was averaging 12 points. I can't see LeBron doing that. Like, I don't think we want to see him like that, but I'm very, very intrigued by when those guys, Chris Paul and LeBron, like when they just decide that, all right.
Yeah, but you know what? We've seen almost every athlete like that. We saw Muhammad Ali. I did. At the end, you know what happened to him. I saw Dwayne Wade the last couple of times. It said saw Jordan. The only one I knew
Kobe.
Kobe. Only one I knew that kind of stepped away at the prime to me seemed like it was Barry Sanders, who could have still gone on. And it seemed like he had some years ago. And he walked away, and I was like, wow, that is really because I just knew he was coming back. I thought it was about money. But I have to agree with you so much when I think about LeBron James and saying, can LeBron James ever come off the bench? Can that other, and do you just, is it just a day where LeBron says, I've had enough, I'm done here? Because now he's talking about, playing with his son.
That's the goal. That's the legitimate goal.
And then the thing is, he's not digressing enough for you to think that he'll be average tomorrow, right? I can still maybe see him playing at an elite level in 2 years from now. But, like, I don't like seeing Paul Pierce sitting on the bench with the Clippers. I didn't like seeing KG with the Nets. Like, it just, you know, Ray coming off the bench. Like, that didn't look right to me, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rondo coming off the bench playing 12 minutes, like, you know.
Remember Tony Parker with the Hornets? That was weird, too.
Yeah. But Tony actually, you know, the interesting thing about that was Tony Parker actually played well for the Hornets that season. And he gave me the breaking news of his retirement. And he's the only player I know that had an option for another year and decided not to take the option and retire.
Wow.
And the thing was the Spurs, where this is DeJounte Murray has talked about it, but I think probably he should kind of like look at it differently. He's like, yeah, Tony didn't really could have took me under his wing better. And maybe Tony could have. But I think also like Tony was starting there for like 16, 17 years. And then all of a sudden in San Antonio where you're the guy, like, it's like you're going to have to come off the bench behind this kid. He probably was like, I'd rather come off the bench in Charlotte hanging out and hanging out with Michael Jordan than to be humbled like that in San Antonio where I've been a finals MVP. So I'm sure there was some ego involved in that. But I think when Tony played in Charlotte, it was the first time that he told me he entered the season and felt like they couldn't win it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that's a unique story.
If I can't play on a team that's capable of winning a championship, then I don't want to play anymore. Mm. And so he walked away. He walked away, man.
Better he than me, because I was going to get that money.
And I think he had like, it might have been like 15, you know, not 15. It was probably like $10 million or something like that.
It's double figures for sure.
Like $10 to $15 million. He walked away. Tony got some other businesses. I think he's okay, though.
Mark, if the Warriors go on and we do see the Lakers in that type of matchup, which team out of those do you see making a run to the NBA Finals? Like, could this happen, what the Lakers are doing right now? I know Max is sick just hearing those words, but is this legit, like what the Lakers are doing?
I think anybody left in the West right now, like including these two teams we're talking about, are capable of representing the West in the Finals. I don't know that there's a clear favorite. Like this is – look, but I'll say this. If Denver beats the Phoenix, then they'll be representing the West. They are for real. This is their real test. Let's see if Denver's not fool's gold. This is a real – like, you're going to have to stop Book and Durant. They're my favorite.
Like, your mobile device is still in the vehicle.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, Phoenix is my favorite. But, like, anybody left has a shot for real.
Wow.
So what do you see over here in the East right now going on? Because
I was just going to say, let's take over to the East.
Yeah, take us in.
I think Jason Tatum needs to send Jimmy Butler a thank you note. You know? Like, wait, what? Y'all got the Bucks knocked out? Thank you. Embiid's hurt. Thank you. Hey, man, I'm going to start.
Mark, they better not mess around this time, though. They better make this a quick season.
I find out when the finals dates are. I'm going to book my Boston hotels, man, because that's.
Oh, it's like that, Mark? That's how you do it? Okay.
I'm going to see y'all soon. Let's do this podcast in person next time, man.
All right. Well, dude, thank you for coming on with us, man, and being in your car and all that.
On this beautiful Saturday.
We're going to meet
somebody. Full disclosure, I apologize for being forgetful and being late. So,
No worries, Mark. We made it work.
As you get older, don't worry about it. It's going to come. Yeah. Everything comes.
I ain't got Max money where I got an assistant to remind me about stuff. Hey, can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah, what you got? What's up?
Man, my sincere condolences and prayers to Heather Walker's family.
Yeah, man,
she was a very sweet lady who always was brought a lot of sunshine to her and humor and class and I just pain for what her family is going through now, but my prayers to them, and she was certainly a beautiful soul that I'm guessing in this next Celtics game she's going to be hopefully
honored.
The Celtics do thing. They're gonna honor her big time.
Yeah.
And I miss her dearly, and I'm glad that her body's at peace now. You know.
Absolutely, man. Great call, Mark. The entire Celtics family, just right now, everyone is just, I mean, you saw on Twitter and social media the way that the outpour, I mean, that's just the kind of person she was. She just affected so many people's lives, and you can just tell by that, man. So we appreciate that for sure, Mark.
Yeah. And all Max, right, brother. Man, I got to see you in you got to come to the Hall of Fame, Max. Tell Twist to get you a ticket.
Oh, we going, Max. We go. I went to an open school out there, Mark, so for sure.
Again, congratulations, my brother. Congratulations.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast, which is brought to you by FanDuel. If you haven't already, head to FanDuel.com/Boston and don't miss out on $200 worth of bonus bets just for watching the Cedric Maxwell Podcast and, of course, the CLNS Media Network. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Don't miss your chance to get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more.
All right. Hey, I'll see y'all in Boston soon.
Let's go. Let's go. Right, you see, I mean, that should be that should be the case for sure, man. He's Mark Spears of ESPN and Scape. Mark J. Spears, the Hall of Fame, soon to be Hall of Fame sports writer, Mark Spears, joining the Cedric Maxwell Podcast, man. Appreciate you, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace, man. Love y'all.